You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
This conception that Jews and Muslims and Christians cannot live in harmony, I want to end that that rhetoric and say, I'm a Jewish Christian Muslim. I want to be able to understand all three religions and have a dialogue with people from all across the board and say, we don't need to fight each other based on the book.
That's Sean Stone, he's son of a famous Hollywood director. You know the name Oliver Stone. He's speaking to Piers Morgan on television saying he's a Jewish Christian Muslim. Now, I imagine he uses Jewish and Christian as adjectives to modify the noun Muslim. So, is he saying he's a Muslim? Is he saying he's a Christian? Is he saying he is a Jew? Or, actually, it sounds like he's saying he's all three, and he can be. Is that true? Can you be a Jewish Christian Muslim? Are there basic inconsistencies between the Jewish religion, the Christian religion, and the Muslim religion that makes such a statement from Sean Stone, well, not only impossible and illogical, but theologically incompatible? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in again. And we are coming to you live this Monday afternoon, the 12th of March. We're going to be talking about these recent statements made by son of director Oliver Stone, Sean Stone, that he is a Jewish Christian Muslim. A little bit later in this hour, we'll be talking with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. I am, like you, prone to boredom. I don't know if it's our culture, if it's television, if it's the internet. It's certainly a combination of all things. But I do know one thing. When it comes to being bored with God's word, I know the reason for that. I can't blame the internet for that. I cannot blame television or my upbringing or the culture. I have to blame myself. There is a sin of boredom, especially when it comes to God's word and how easily we are bored with God's word. We will talk about Christians and boredom in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Ken Samples is a regular guest. He's a scholar for Reasons to Believe in Pasadena, California. Ken, welcome back.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Is it possible to be what Sean Stone says he is, a Jewish Christian Muslim?
You know, I hear people say things like that, Todd, and I'm sure that they probably have good intention. You know, maybe they're trying to emphasize unity and to stay away from hostility, but the truth of the matter is that's a nonsensical statement. You really cannot be a Jew, Christian, and Muslim, and it's really for fundamentally theological reasons. I mean, right at the heart of historic Christianity is the claim that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, that he's the second person of the Trinity, took to himself a human nature and became man. But to be a Jew and a Muslim, You have to contradict that. You have to say Jesus Christ is not God incarnate. And the problem is those two statements do negate or deny one another. If Jesus is God incarnate, then it's false that he's not. And if he's not, then it's false that he is. And so I think Sean Stone, unfortunately, doesn't appreciate the very essence, because there is a similar problem when you come to Islam regarding Allah's nature. So I would say no, in an intelligent, meaningful way, you cannot be a Jew, a Christian, and a Muslim.
This is what I suspect Sean Stone is doing, to give him the benefit of the doubt. I suspect that he is thinking of Judaism, of Christianity, and of Islam in almost exclusively cultural terms, not in theological or religious terms. He's thinking of them as kind of clashing cultures or traditions. And in that sense, would it be logical for someone to say, I'm a Jewish Christian Muslim?
I think your point there is helpful. I mean, given the background of Sean Stone, he has a Jewish heritage or culture. He seems to have had some kind of Judeo-Christian influence, and now his conversion to Islam. His father, the famous movie maker, of course, is a Buddhist. So he probably does kind of look at these in kind of cultural terms. I think that that obviously Jews, Christians, and Muslims have a lot more in common than, let's say, Buddhists or Hindus or Confucius or Taoists, etc. But, I mean, even in terms of how that culture is understood, I don't think you can really avoid the kind of bottom-line theological evaluation.
So let's talk about the claims made by Jesus himself and made of Jesus in the New Testament that make it impossible for someone to be a Jewish Christian Muslim, beginning with whether or not Jesus actually claimed for himself to be divine, to be God.
Yeah, there's very powerful support in the New Testament that Jesus really went about communicating that he was God in human flesh. And let me mention a couple different ways in which he does it. First of all, he claims to possess divine prerogatives. That is, there are certain things that only God, or in a Jewish context, only Yahweh could do. For example, only God can forgive people's sins. Only God can judge humanity. Only God can raise people from the dead. And Jesus goes around claiming to do these very things. In fact, the Jews who were disputing with him even recognized that. Who can forgive sins but God alone? What do you mean you can judge humanity? So one way in which we see Jesus making that claim is there are certain things that only God can do, and Jesus claims to do the things that only God can do. More specifically, Jesus makes his relationship with the Father very unique in the sense that he says that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you trust in Yahweh, trust also in me. And again, he seems to say that the way you deal with him will dictate if you hate him, you hate God. And so that's a second way I think that we see this. And then finally, and maybe most powerfully, is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 42 through about 48, God refers to himself, prefers to call himself either I am or I am he. We also see this in Exodus when God has interaction with Moses. But that's a divine expression. That's the most sacred name in the Old Testament for God, I am or I am he. And then in John 8:58, in the light of a dispute with the Jews, Jesus finally says, before Abraham came into existence, I am. And of course, the Jews pick up stones to stone him because they see it as a blasphemous claim. So Jesus claims to be God the way a first century Jewish person would understand somebody claiming to be God.
Expand on that last point, because there is no doubt that his opponents considered him to be, in their terms, making himself equal to God, which I don't know how the math works out, but they see him as claiming to be divine. They accuse him of blasphemy. They even attempt to, in a very rapid fashion, carry out the sentence against convicted blasphemers.
Absolutely. I mean, I think what's very critical in the New Testament is looking at the reaction that he receives from the Jewish community. They don't interpret this as, well, you know, he's just claiming to be a prophet. He's kind of, you know, he's a little bit controversial. He's just being provocative. No, they take these claims very, very seriously. And on a number of occasions, he's confronted with stoning, which was the prescribed method of dealing with a blasphemer. And so I think in a number of ways, you see Jesus making these exclusive claims that really can't be interpreted any other way.
Does Jesus also accept, and I didn't hear you mention it yet, but he accepts for himself not people that treat, but people would treat him as God. They worship him. They seek things from him that one would rightly only insanely seek from God alone.
Exactly. I mean, we could add that to the early point. He forgives sin. He raises the dead. He judges humanity. He allows people, even encourages people to worship him. I mean, in a Jewish monotheistic context, that would be totally unacceptable. And so Jesus, again, goes around talking, speaking as if he has the very prerogatives of deity. And so he does it by making claims. He does it by comparing himself with Yahweh, and he does it by his claim to have these prerogatives. And so I think there's very powerful evidence that Jesus saw himself, understood himself, to be God in human flesh.
All right, that's self-understanding, that's making a claim. Anyone can do that. Insane people can think themselves divine. With about a minute here before we take a break, get us started. What's the best possible explanation or set of explanations that we need to explore in examining these claims that Jesus made for himself? About a minute before we break.
Well, let me simply begin by saying this, that, you know, if Jesus were not God, if he really were not God, if he knew that he wasn't God and he was making these kind of claims and referencing himself this way, then he couldn't possibly be a good man. Because good men don't go around claiming these kinds of things for themselves. And, of course, then you would have some other alternative. Well, was he a mentally sick man? But the difficulty there is all of the affirming things that he does with his life. And so when we're looking for a viable alternative, it seems that these easy answers won't work. He seems neither insane, nor will he be understood as merely a good man.
Ken Samples is our guest of Reasons to Believe. We're talking about some statements made by Sean Stone, thinking himself a Jewish Christian Muslim, and taking that apart in terms of Christ's claim. Stay tuned. Is Christianity merely one limited half-true perspective on God? Find out in an article I've written for the latest Issues Etc. journal. It's titled, The Blind Men and the Elephant, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Christian Teve's journey from the agnosticism of a committed Darwinist to faith in Jesus Christ. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, talking with Ken Samples about some recent statements made by the son of director Oliver Stone. Sean Stone says he's a Jewish Christian Muslim, and he's not alone in thinking that the three great monotheisms can stand together, not only culturally but religiously, erasing some of the differences, the real differences between them. But it all comes down to the claims of one Jesus Christ and whether or not his definition of who he is allows for someone to be a Jewish Christian Muslim. Ken Samples is a scholar for Reasons to Believe in Pasadena, California, and author of the book Without a Doubt, Answering the 20 Toughest Faith Questions. You'll find a link to Reasons to Believe and to his book at our website, issuesetc.org. Ken, you say that we need to avoid what you call the false alternatives fallacy. You started down that road with the famous kind of C.S. Lewis alternatives, liar, lunatic, or Lord. Why? What is the false alternatives fallacy, and why does it need to be assiduously avoided in this case?
Well, the false alternatives fallacy is when you're really kind of, you present something as an either-or, but you miss out on the fact that there are possible alternatives that you have not mentioned. So, you know, some people have read Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, and Lewis kind of develops this idea of the trilemma, that Jesus is either Lord, liar, or lunatic. And other people have kind of picked this up, and I remember when I was first reading Lewis, I thought, wow, this idea of thinking through alternatives about the life of Jesus, I think, has a lot of promise. But in my own writing, I thought, you know, I think there are other alternatives that people think are legit. Now, I don't think they're terribly engaging at all, but, you know, some people would say, well, what about Jesus being a legend? Or if you look more broadly at the context, you know, some people would consider other alternatives for Jesus. I mean, I wrote a book on UFO cults. They think Jesus was an extraterrestrial. And so I think the power of that kind of argument, it's kind of an inference to the best explanation. What is the best explanation for Jesus' life, death, and resurrection? I would say let's open up the alternatives, and I think what we discover is that the best explanation for the life of Jesus is that he was who he claimed to be.
Okay, so let's walk through a few of those alternatives. You mentioned one that essentially Jesus, or at least his claims to divinity, are legendary in the sense that his disciples, long after the fact, put those claims into his mouth.
Yeah, this is obviously what we often hear from people who have adopted a much more liberal point of view. But there are real problems with that kind of thinking. There are plenty of New Testament scholars, and some of them not terribly conservative, who would say that, you know, Peter, James, and John, these are people who had firsthand encounters with Jesus. The primitive claims of Christianity out of 1 Corinthians 15, that that Jesus died, he was buried, and he was risen, and he appeared, this kind of early primitive Christian creed, if you will, that this was circulating maybe within weeks or months after the claim of Jesus's crucifixion and his resurrection. So it's very difficult, I think, to move away from the idea these were gospels that were written surely by the 60s of the first century. Paul's writings predate that. Galatians, 1 Thessalonians, maybe in the late 40s. So you don't even have a full generation that separates these apostolic claims to the events of Jesus's life. So thinking that Jesus is made up out of, you know, whole cloth is just not going to work.
You mentioned this before, and I think this is one of the most popular interpretations of Jesus nowadays, kind of the Oprah Winfrey interpretation, which is, well, of course Jesus claimed to be divine. So do I. We all have that spark of divine in us. Jesus was essentially an enlightened master or a mystical guru. How do you respond?
Well, I think that's exactly a point we have to consider. I mean, when Lewis was writing, you didn't have kind of the New Age movement. You had to kind of go over to India to encounter this idea of pantheism. But again, that claim that Jesus was I'm divine, but everybody's divine. You know, the problem is that Jesus was a Jew. He was a monotheist. He cut his teeth reading the Torah. He did not believe in things like pantheism. He didn't believe that all reality is one, and that one reality is God. And so monism and pantheism are not consistent with what's taught in the Old Testament that Jesus affirmed about God, nor is it consistent with the very teachings of Jesus in the New Testament. And so it's very, very problematic to introduce the idea that Jesus was somehow a pantheist, given his theological framework.
Let's see what Joe has to say. He's listening in St. Louis. Joe, thanks for waiting.
Hi, Todd. First, I wonder if you thought you could shake me switching over here, but that's a different topic. It would seem to me that if Muslims or Jews take their religion seriously, that they would also find some intellectual offense at Stone's claims. Is your guest aware of any negative criticism coming from either one of those two religions against this? Thanks.
It's a great insight there, Joe. Thanks for listening in St. Louis. Ken.
I appreciate that, Joe, because, you know, you don't have to go merely to the historic Christian point of view. You know, the Islamic perspective is very clear. Allah has an absolute unity of nature. This is called Tawhid. There's therefore Allah doesn't have any partners or equals or rivals or companions or associates. Therefore, in Islamic theology, Allah is not begotten, nor does he beget. And to identify any creature with God, which is the view Islam takes of the Christian incarnation, that would be shirk. That would be idolatry. So it would seem that on the other side of the coin, that Muslims would join Christians by saying, look, you can't be a Christian and be a Muslim. And so I think that any conservative, any traditional Islamic theologian would say that's a very confusing statement.
So Sean Stone's fundamental error is that he is failing to see Christianity in particular, but also the other two he mentions, Judaism and Islam, but Christianity in particular as making, well, actually, as Christ himself making exclusive claims.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, you have to deal with these particular claims, and you know, you can place them within an Old Testament context. And again, Jesus is making himself out to be to have a divine nature. And Todd, I think if you combine that again with the other points of view, I mean, in Islam, Islam denies four essential elements of historic Christianity. They deny the Trinity. They deny the Incarnation. They deny original sin. Now, that's an amazing thing that a religion like Islam that has had so much problems with violence denies original sin. But they also deny Jesus died on the cross, so they reject the atonement. I think you're forced to say that if Islam is true, Christianity is false. And if Christianity is true, Islam is false. And the fundamental problem is that you can't affirm these two religions without denying what is essential to their own faith.
We hear Muslims occasionally, westernized Muslims, talk about a very welcoming place for Jesus in their prayer, in their theology. With about a minute here, are we encountering 200-proof Islam in that case, when they want to make a welcoming place in Islam for Jesus?
Islam certainly has a favorable, maybe even an exalted view of Jesus, but they take him out of the category in which Christians speak of him. Jesus is a prophet. Jesus will make an appearance. In Islamic eschatology, Jesus will appear in the world before the apocalyptic end. But the fundamental issue is that Jesus is not God. Allah has no partners or associates. He doesn't beget, nor is he begotten. So Jesus is merely a creature. And Islam would, again, in a classical context, their theology would be seen as heretical. their Christology is heretical.
Ken Samples is a scholar for Reasons to Believe in Pasadena, California. He's author of the book, Without a Doubt, Answering the 20 Toughest Faith Questions. Ken, thank you very much for your time.
Pleasure, Todd. Thanks a lot.
You know, there are a lot of people, and even some Christians, who believe that Christianity is, well, it's kind of part of the picture, merely one limited kind of half-true perspective. That's the term of art, a perspective on God. They would even say that Jesus just came to show us what God's like, not who God really is. Is Christianity just a perspective? You can find out in an article that I've written for the Issues Etc. Journal, the very latest edition. It's titled The Blind Men and the Elephant. We'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org, journal@issuesetc.org. There's also a great, great story in there from Pastor Christian Teeves, his journey from the agnosticism of committed Darwinism to faith in Jesus Christ. It's the online Issues Etc. Journal, journal@issuesetc.org. When we come back, we'll talk about Christianity and boredom with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller.
Because we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guy. There ain't no bad guy. There's only you and me, and we just disagree.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org. Go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
One woman exposes contradictions in pro-abortion ideas.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Leah Singh is a Harvard Law graduate, writer, and stay-at-home mom of three girls. She blogs about the real basis of pro-abortion ideology. Leah wrote, "Today more than ever, it is difficult to hold on to the myth that the fetus is just part of the woman rather than a unique individual. Technology has exposed the truth to us with blinding clarity. Given all we know about the unborn human being, it is clear to me that force of will rather than ignorance now seems to be the driving force behind abortion."
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas, Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California, Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming, Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas, Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming, Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California, St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa, Redeemer Lutheran, Caquabeca Falls, Ontario, Canada, St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.